All right, getting ready for the Mike Tomlin news conference. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Any moment now, Mike Tomlin will open his news conference. Our friend and yours, Bob Pompeiani, is taking care of the festivities leading up to this as we incorporate the television feed. The Colts are next, and they've been quite competitive, actually. I think that Shane Steichen is a very good coach. I don't think Anthony Richardson is a very good quarterback. I think Jonathan Taylor is a star running back. Those are the main storylines going in for me. They lost by 2 to Houston. They lost by 6
all right, Joe,
at Green Bay. They beat Chicago.
Good afternoon. Excited about a new week and the challenges that it presents. I just think that's one of the things that's awesome about our game and our business at this level. The variables are different week in and week out, and I'm excited about turning the page with this group and getting hyper-focused on the things that are going to be really relevant in terms of us securing victory this week. But before I get to that, I'll quickly review our last performance and talk about some of the things that we thought was significant in that matchup. As we stood in here last week and talked, styles make fights. We knew it would be an entertaining game, a competitive game. Some similarities between the two teams I really thought was significant. Defenses were led by edge rush tandems. They had a chance to change the trajectory of the game. I'm glad it was ours. Both teams got a commitment to running the football. I thought we did a nice job of minimizing theirs. I thought ours kind of revealed itself as the game wore on. Obviously, it was tough sledding early. We anticipated that. They got a really good defense. But I thought that four-minute possession at the end was kind of indicative of our commitment to pounding away at it until we had a breakthrough. And I thought there in the waning moments of the game, we found our breakthrough. But there was a lot to be excited about in the game. There's also a lot to work on. In the special teams game, I can't say enough about Corliss Waitman, that punter for us, man. This guy's got on a moving train, and I thought he did a nice job of flipping the field and upholding his end of the bargain. We've had some turnover in some of that space. I thought we had two or three new guys on punt team, and I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge those contributions from a coach's perspective as you check all the boxes in preparation. When you got new people on your punt team, that has a lot of your attention. It might not get a lot of attention, but as a coach, it has yours. And I just thought some of those guys that were new contributors to special teams, Rodney Williams got elevated, for example, had a tackle on kickoff. I was very reliable in the punt game as an example of what I'm talking about in those spaces. Offensively, you know, we didn't start with the level of fluidity that I would like. We got to get that solved and get it solved quickly. I think particularly at the early stages of the season, as you pursue and attain victory, you better continually work on the things that could be troublesome for you as you continue through the journey. And lack of fluidity in our starts, three and outs and things of that nature just doesn't tee us up to play the type of ball that we desire to play. Thankfully, we were in our home venue and our defense was playing really good there at the early stages of the game to minimize some of that. We're not assured of those things, particularly as we get into a hostile environment this week in Indy. And so that has our attention in terms of areas of need and improvement of work. Defensively, great defenses communicate. Great defenses specialize in terms of a variety of personnel groups and schematics within those variety of personnel groups. And we just got to continue to work in those spaces. We've had some success, but we've also had some real JV moments, if you will. The longest run of the day was 13 yards. That happened when we had 10 guys on the field because of our inability to exchange people appropriately and handle some of those things that really tee up good defenses, as I mentioned. And so although we're playing good ball, it's still about us. It's still about how we function. It's still about utilizing the players that are available to us and in their talents and formulating a plan that allows us to do the desired job. From a health standpoint, I hit on a few things. Pruitt will probably be still be out this week with his knee injury. Corey Trice looks to be out with the hamstring injury that he sustained in game. Alex Highsmith looks to be out with the groin injury that he sustained in game. Some guys whose participation is in question, and we'll let their participation, the quality of that participation, and when that participation ticks up be our guide in terms of planning with these people. Jaylen Warren and Isaac. Isaac is working his way back in the offensive line. We'll see what his participation looks like this week, and let the quality and amount of that participation be our guide in terms of his participation. And in the meanwhile, when he's not participating, we'll continue to do some of the things that we did at left guard last week in terms of Spencer and Mason both getting work and watching those guys throughout the week to kind of decide how we divvy up the labor based on that performance. And obviously that discussion is exclusive or aside from Isaac's availability. Still very much in the same place with Russ this week as we were last week, at least at the beginning of the week. I just met with him and our head athletic trainer and talked about what tomorrow looks like. Tomorrow is a limited participation day from a scheduling perspective. He had a good workout today. We'll see how he feels in the morning, but I'm not expecting him to be a full participant tomorrow. And so as we walk in the building tomorrow, I want Justin singularly focused on starting for us and doing what's required to be ready to do that. And so although I'm sure you got questions, I probably got similar answers that I had a week ago, and we'll see where the week leads us. If his availability or the quality of his practice participation picks up, maybe we'll consider that later in the week. If it doesn't, then it won't be a consideration, and we'll just continue with where we are right now. And so that's just the status of not only him, but our intentions regarding Justin as I stand here today in preparation for this game. Again, as I mentioned, very similar to last week, very similar to the week before. Now I turn my attention toward the Indianapolis Colts, their team that's coming off of a big victory last week. If you look at them offensively, first and foremost, we got to deal with Jonathan Taylor. He is super talented. But we've seen some talented backs. Bijan is super talented. JK is super talented. And that just goes to show you how competitive this league is week in and week out, man. We got a big challenge in Jonathan Taylor. I think that challenge is intensified because of Richardson's mobility and their willingness to use schematics regarding Richardson's mobility. And so, man, it is a big run game emphasis for us as I sit here right now at the early outset of the week, looking at things that they do well and the things that we need to do well. Obviously, man, they got a talented receiving core that supplements that run game. Pierce, man, is getting behind secondaries. Man, he has always done it. He did it at the University of Cincinnati. I was at his pro day and studied him. They drafted him to do it, and he's been behind defenses the whole time he's in the league. I think he leads the NFL in plus 40-yard plays at this juncture in a short period of time. Man, Richardson has the arm strength to really highlight that component of his game. We got to keep a lid on it. You don't keep a lid on it, you're going to have major problems playing anyone, but particularly a group like this in their venue. You got to make them earn it. You can't allow them to get yards in chunks. Michael Pittman is a high-volume catch guy, a front-side route runner, good versus zone, good versus man, good in weighty moments and chain-moving circumstances. They got some talented young people like Downs and others that supplement those two. They just do a really good job with their eligible, spreading the ball around. They got a diverse group with various kinds of talent that you have to plan for, not only in terms of personnel matchups, but the schematic component. They got a really diverse offense in terms of RPO football and run pass options. They don't allow you to stack the box in an effort to minimize Taylor. You got to play the cat and mouse game with them in terms of some of those things. And so I respect the schematic component of the matchup as well. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's Gus Bradley, man. He's been there, done that guy. We've been in some circumstances to get him against him. Got a lot of respect for his approach to ball and how he works. Obviously, they've had some issues in terms of stopping the run, but when you watch their tape, you really see Gus's intentions in terms of rectifying that. man, they were really sound last week. They were in gaps. They were aggressive. I think that that is indicative of his defenses. I got a lot of respect for a lot of the people up front. Quiddy Pay and Grover, I think, provide the standard for them on the edge and on the inside, but they play a lot of people. They run waves of D linemen and rushmen at you. That's one of the signatures of their attack. At the linebacker level, man, Franklin, I just got a lot of respect for, man. That's a homegrown talent. They took him late in the draft in 2018 just to watch his role evolve over his time there. You know, sixth-round pick that became a core teamer, that became a situational defender, that became a green dot defender. He's a high-volume tackler, 160 tackles, 170 tackles in the last 2 years specifically. He's a really good blitzer. He's just good in space, vertical space, horizontal space. They employed a Tampa 2 that requires him to run down the middle of the field. He's good at that. He's good in three deep and underneath coverage. He is just a well-rounded player. That's a big-time catalyst for a lot of what goes on with them. Kenny Moore, an outside corner and nickel, is another guy that's homegrown. He's played a lot of quality football there. That's a splash playmaker. He controls the perimeter play. Wide receiver screens, bubble screens, and things of that nature that goes on out in that nickel space. His talents and his experience make that very difficult. He's very good in terms of fitting in the run game and blitzing. They ask him to blitz quite a bit. He's just got a well-rounded game. He's a veteran guy. He's got good vision. He turns up in a lot of circumstances. Really enjoyed watching the safety tandem, although I've been watching them for a couple of years. Young guys. I see their evolution. Both guys are high-volume tacklers and making a bunch of splash plays. Both guys had major interceptions against us when we played in Indy last year. Respect that component of the matchup, but they're not the same players they were. They're evolving. I see it. Nick Cross in particular is making a bunch of plays in the run game. He's a high-volume tackler. He's a good cover man. He's oftentimes down covering tight ends and things of that nature in one-dimensional passing circumstances. You know, so they got a well-balanced group on both sides of the ball. They're coming off of a victory. We're playing them in their venue. They got quarterback mobility and a top-notch runner. There's a lot of things that have our attentions, and appropriately so, at the beginning of the week as we begin to lay a foundational plan and ready our guys for the challenges of the week. As I mentioned at the beginning, though, it's the National Football League. I wouldn't expect anything else. I'm excited about readying this group and growing in all the appropriate ways as we get ready for this action. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, I know it wasn't the way you planned it, but what did you see from Broderick? Did he bounce back into a suitable fashion?
He did, but I'm not surprised by that. Broderick has a great deal of confidence in himself, particularly for a young guy. The performance was what it was in Denver. He didn't make excuses or seek comfort. He simply acknowledged it and went back to work. And I just think when you take that approach, you really tee yourself up for the appropriate bounce back, and he did.
Mike, is Jalen's injury related to the hamstring issue he had earlier?
No, it is not. He was limping in game. In the latter part of the game, I kind of noticed it, and I pulled him from the game because I know Jalen's tough. He's just going to go. And so we'll see where his availability is as we work this week. I'd imagine he's going to be somewhat limited tomorrow, and we'll see the trajectory of it in terms of including him or no in planning.
Mike, now that you're three games in, what more do you need to see from Justin? Why not name him the starting quarterback going forward?
Because there's no need. You know, I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow. And so I really, there's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate and it's not necessary as we sit here right now. When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health and we have a decision to make, I'll make it and I'll announce it and I'll be really transparent about it. But until then, I don't care how many ways you guys ask me, you know, I got no intentions of making the decision that's unnecessary at this juncture.
Mike,
Mike, related to that, what is that appropriate point of health or healthy that Russell has to hit for you to make that decision?
We'll know when we get there. He'll not only be healthy in terms of keeping himself safe, but he'll be healthy in terms of being able to be productive and do the things that he needs to do and we need him to do.
Has Justin Fields shown you some things that changed that point for you? You know, if he had struggled compared to playing pretty well.
No question, Justin has played well, and that's exciting for him and for us. But I'm not surprised by that, and I hadn't looked at it in terms of the decision-making because it's not time yet.
Mike, what is it that you like most about him that you've seen, Justin?
You know, as I mentioned in here repeatedly, you know, I like his steady demeanor. I like that in a leader. He doesn't ride the emotional roller coaster when things are going good, when things are going bad. Guys can rally around that. He's steady. He's a competitor, man. He likes to compete. He doesn't turn down things. He's aggressive in play, scrambling and so forth. It's just been fun to get to know him, and not only know him as a guy, but know him as a competitor.
What you said in your opening statements about hoping to be more fluid earlier than what you were against the Chargers, how much is that maybe looking for more chunk plays earlier? And how much is trusting Justin more, knowing him more?
No, you're a lot more optimistic than I am. I'm just talking about converting a first third down or two. Okay, we started the game with 2-3 and outs. I'm interested in converting third downs when I'm talking about starting with more fluidity.
But does knowing Justin more and seeing his good results so far lend you to maybe attacking downfield more, looking for big chunk plays more?
Again, I understand your question, but when I made that statement, I was thinking specifically about converting third downs and not warming up to that component of the game. Three and outs are not good for field positioning and establishing the right kind of mojo early in games.
Mike, you often talk about positionless football. Typically, that's seen more often on the defensive side of things than the offensive side. You had some injuries in game on Sunday. You're able to use Cordarrelle Patterson out wide as a receiver in the backfield. Mm-hmm. That flexibility that he gives you, is that kind of unique for an offensive player?
It is unique, but it's something that we covet all the time. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for CP and his talents. We had intended to utilize him in both. It wasn't a reactionary plan. We only went into the game with four receivers because we had a plan for him to play both positions in game. And that just speaks to his talents, but not only his talents, but his football intellect to be able to carry a menu like that. And so he's exciting in that way, but Connor Hayward is another offensive guy that plays tight end and running back like things. I just think anytime that you got guys with position flexibility, with fluidity in terms of the things that they can do, it makes it challenging to defend. And so hopefully that keeps growing.
Mike, your defensive line has been winning, especially a lot this past Sunday, but how much of your cornerbacks also played a role in keeping the run game and forcing guys back to the inside?
You know, they've done the job, but it's week to week at corner, man. I'm going to keep challenging those two. One's young and the other one's little, and so I like challenging them. But make no mistake, man, they're riding the wave that the front has provided. But we've invested a lot in resources and time into that group, and so we're not surprised by their effectiveness.
Mike, the decision to rotate Spencer and Mason, was that a pregame decision or was that performance-based in-game?
It was done all last week in preparation.
Mike, when you sent Bazaar to try that 62-yarder, 6 seconds left, did you think the time would run out?
I didn't care. I sent him out there because I thought he was going to make it, to be quite honest with you. Most of the time, field goals occur, usually take anywhere from, 3 to 5 seconds. But I was less concerned about that component of it, and I was more concerned about potentially getting 3 points because I just got that level of confidence in Chris Boswell.
Mike, with Highsmith likely out, what have you seen from Leal out at the edge, and would he be kind of the third option out there?
You know, he's been working at both spots anyway. Speaking of positional flexibility, man, Leal, throughout team development, has been playing outside linebacker and defensive line. He did some last year, so it's not anything new for him. And so, really, I don't view that as a significant issue in terms of him elevating and getting more opportunity. It's more of the same, really. It's probably more of what he desires to do because he definitively wants to play. This guy has had a good team development process, and I'm excited about what he's going to do with increased opportunities just as much as I am that Herbig did with his.
Mike,
How much have you seen Nick Herbig kind of grow since he got in the building, especially the more time he spends around TJ?
That's been really consistent since he's been here. He's hardworking and humble, and I really think that tees up performance for him. But he also has ridiculous belief in self, and that's attractive to coaches. That's attractive to older players. He is not a guy that's ever scared.
Mike, what was it? A couple of throws that Justin made on Sunday, the touchdown throw and the one on the left sideline to pick up the big first down to Miller, had to be very precise to work as they did. Was that something that you saw in evaluating him out of college while you were evaluating him to bring him in, or is that something that he's improved, that precision that he's improved since he got here?
Very much so is something that we saw in draft prep, dating back to his days in Columbus. And that's often the case with us. Our interest in people in terms of pro personnel oftentimes can be traced back to draft evals, and that was a component of his game that was really impressive in Columbus, certainly.
Mike, what does Roman Wilson have to show in order to get a home run?
He just got to keep working. It is very difficult to get on a moving train. All you got to do is look at Dean Lowry, for example. There's a veteran guy that missed a substantial amount of training camp, and it was the third game before he got a hat, although he's been healthy for 3 weeks. And so that gets multiplied when you're talking about a guy that has no NFL experience like Roman. And so my advice to Roman is to keep working and take that opportunity when that door is left ajar and to be ready when it is.
What does Mason show you to garner those snaps, those rotational snaps left guard?
He's a talented young guy. He's done a nice job in team development. He's had a lot of success in college, man. No stage is too big for him. He's not a blinker. He runs to the action. I like the finish mentality in his play. I think it's contagious. I think all of our guys, young guys, have that finish trait. I think that's why we were so excited about that collective, talking about he and Troy and Zach Frazier. They got that finishing trait that's able to form the makeup or the personality of a collective as they grow older together.
You brought up seeing Taylor after already seeing Bijan and J.K. Dobbins. What do you see in his skill set as opposed to those guys, and how do the Colts sort of block it up in the run game as opposed to what you just saw from the Chargers?
He's got really good pick and vision. His burst is spectacular. His long speed is underrated. His ability to produce big plays with that is a major component of what he does. But the patience initially is Bijan-like. His burst is awesome. He's just got a well-rounded game. He needs no endorsement from me. He's been doing it at this level. He did it in Madison, Wisconsin. I imagine he did it on high school and little league fields as well.
You mentioned it was tough sledding in the run game early on. Where would you like to see improvements to increase the efficiency on the ground?
I don't know that I'm necessarily looking for that. When you play good defenses, particularly at the early stages of the game, it's going to be tough. When they got guys like Derwin James spinning down into the box and blitzing off the edge and so forth, it's going to be tough. The key is to not absorb negativity where you're behind the chains, where it affects the next down. And you better maintain your commitment to it in the effort to win the war of attrition. And so that was our mindset. You're not always going to have efficient runs early on, particularly when you're playing good people. They got scholarships too, as we say in this business.
Any more clarity on Troy's injury? How long he'll be out?
He's out this week. I hadn't looked at the clarity component of it. I meet with the docs tomorrow afternoon post-practice.
Mike, you guys targeted the middle part of the field twice as much as you had the previous two games combined. Was that more about the matchups and the things you guys saw in their defense, or more about Justin's growth in the offense?
Guys, as I've mentioned repeatedly in this process, man, at the early portions of the year when you got a small sample size, you can always have questions and perspectives like that. But really, we're just trying to do what's required to win games. And so sometimes there can be an appearance of personality that's inappropriate. Week one, we were playing in Atlanta. We were playing Jesse Bates and Simmons, two top-notch safeties, man. We didn't want to throw the ball to them. And so when we threw the ball, we threw it outside down the grass, for example. This past week, the Chargers play a bunch of split safety coverage, and so it's middle of the field open, so you have opportunities to attack the ball down the middle of the field. My answer to that is keep watching. We're just trying to do what it needs to be done to position ourselves for victory every week. It better require a skill set, a well-rounded skill set from everyone involved, and it better require some open-minded coaching. And so that's just our general approach. Our personality will be revealed the more we play. But as we stand right now, we're just not overly concerned with establishing personality. Sometimes you could be so fixated on that you're not doing what's required to win games. And from a coaching perspective, that's stupid.
Mike, you spoke about what you've liked from what you've seen from Justin up to this point. What areas of his game do you want to see him improve in?
You know, I want him to see him improve in all areas, to be quite honest with you. You know, knowing what those areas of need and improvement are difficult sometimes when you don't have a shared experience. And so a component of me getting to know him is just maintaining that posture, challenging him to improve in all areas. And as we gain more experience together, I'll be able to narrow that focus on things that become repetitive or trending.
Mike, we saw these, when you get a new player such as a Patrick Queen, a green dot guy, is there an adjustment in terms of not so much assimilating into the defense, but with the players around him, and are you seeing it?
No question. Pat Queen is our defensive quarterback. And so, man, he has just as much of my energy as Justin and Russ. It was a challenging offseason from a coach's perspective, you know, getting quarterbacks solid on both sides of the ball. But the men that they are has made it a fun and rewarding process, too. They love football. They're articulate. They can speak it. They think fast on their feet. They're adaptable. They can adjust. Talking about the quarterbacks and Pat. It's been really fun, man. I'm excited about having him.
You were just in Indy late last season, but how much does Richardson change the whole approach to needing to defend our offense with his mobility?
You know, I don't necessarily have the answer to that as I stand here right now. I have so much prep in front of me this week, and he has a small sample size to study. I think this weekend will be his eighth start, and so I don't know that I am positioned to answer the significance of his presence and not. I'm really just focused on what his presence means.
Mike, are there any limitations on Najee? And what did you see from Aaron and from Ward in the in training camp that you liked?
Who?
Practice.
You asked about practice squad running backs.
with injuries, obviously.
No limitations in Najee. Najee will be ready to rock and roll, so that probably makes the second part of the question less relevant.
Mike, obviously the organization has, you know, made a commitment to Cam Hayward with the contract, but is a game like he had Sunday indicative of why he can age well playing up front?
I don't think anybody is surprised by what Cam did last Sunday or what Cam has done. His talents are his talents. His commitment and his approach to work are equally as impressive. His leadership is as well in this building, in the community. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year. I mean, you know, it's Cam Hayward.
Mike, you guys play as many tight games as anybody in the league, maybe more than anybody. Does having success in those games, does that get, when it's tight late, does that have a creative vibe on the sideline, a level of confidence that you guys will find a way to get done?
I think you grow from the journey. Our business is to win games, and so we better win while we learn. I think you learn every week. You better be in position to do so. We better work to keep the lights on and win and does that.
Well, I mean, but are you guys, I know you hate using the word comfort, but I mean, is there a level of confidence that when it's tight, that maybe because you guys play in that situation so often, that maybe it gives you an advantage to you guys?
You're right. I hate to use the word comfortable. We come out of those circumstances because of what we do, not some mystical thing. And so we don't have rabbit's foot in our pocket. There's work to be done. I like the way that the guys do it. And that's just how we live.
Anyone else?
Mike, I got one more. You talked about, when you talked about Roman, you said it's hard for a guy to get on a moving train. You talked about Lowry, a veteran guy. In relation to the quarterback position, does Russ's resume such that those concerns aren't as heightened because
yes.
His first year in a new system?
Yes.
At one point, does the train get moving too fast for a guy like that to catch up?
I don't know, man. We'll know when we get there.
Anyone else? All right.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. That was the Mike Tomlin news conference and the Mike Tomlin presser reaction brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you, there will be soon. It's also 12:31, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. It seems a little weird that a guy who was seen in a sling yesterday is not an injury concern at all, but maybe that was just precautionary with Najee. So Najee ready to rock and roll. That's number one story for me, tied probably with Justin Fields again, right? Because I'm not surprised. Nobody is with the fact that Russell Wilson's still not ready. So Justin Fields, they'll prepare as if he's the starter again, and he surely will be. Our very own Jeff Hathorn said, why not just name Fields the starter? Tomlin said, because there's no need. Nothing's changed. He said, when Russ gets to the appropriate point of health, we'll have a decision to make, and I'll make it then and be transparent. I got no problem with all that. There really is no need to officially designate a starter. I just happen to believe that in Tomlin's mind, Justin Fields is the guy. And for anybody watching the games, especially this last one, if Russell Wilson had been declared 100% healthy today, I don't think there's a 1% chance that Russell Wilson would play in this game. Do you?
No, I don't see it happening. I mean, it seems like the same status quo as last week. And he's not going to suit up. He might suit up in the pads and go out for the opening kickoff as the third quarterback, but that's going to be the extent of it. It's Justin Fields' world now, at least for this week again. I also have an Alex Highsmith injury update for you,
yeah,
more than what Tomlin
please
gave. From Jeremy Fowler, Steelers bracing for Highsmith to miss multiple weeks with a groin injury, but it's not considered major. He will avoid surgery.
Man, I mean, sort of low-key here. They've been hit with some big-time injuries. First of all, your starting quarterback's hurt, which is a big deal, you know, a huge deal in probably 20 or 25 markets. There are some where they don't even have a starter, so it doesn't matter. And there are others, you know, where whatever, the team's so bad, something like that. This could have been a huge deal, but Justin Fields has seized the opportunity. So the starting quarterback, your best offensive lineman, a lot of people thought going into the season, out multiple weeks. And now Alex Highsmith, who's what, your third or fourth best defensive player? Out multiple weeks. And now Jaylen Warren. You don't think of the Russell Wilson injury like you would in other markets because of Fields. You don't think of Highsmith now as you might in other markets with a guy like him because you have TJ Watt on the other side and an emerging folk hero in Herbig. Say Amalo, the fact that they're 3-0 and they're getting decent play on their offensive line, in some cases very good play, that one's going under the radar too. And Warren, the same thing, because he really hasn't done much yet. It seems like he was still hurt, but Tomlin said it's not related to that training camp injury or whenever he sustained that injury. He said it's something different, and Tomlin pulled him. So yeah, low-key, they're dealing with some major pieces here being injured.
And what about Troy Faltano, your starting right tackle, first-round draft pick?
That's what I mean. Listen, when you're 3-0 and you look good doing it, all these things become lesser issues, all the injuries and controversies and dramas. I remember standing with Frank Coonley once across the Clemente Bridge. I was headed to a very good Greek place, I might add, the name of which I forget, over on the right as you cross the bridge. They had Jackie Onassis cake that the guy who owned the restaurant used to make on the boat, on Onassis's boat, whatever his name was, for Jackie Kennedy and him. He used to make the stuff, and he made it in the restaurant. That's an aside, however, limits. I said to Frank Coonley, because the Pirates were then winning, I don't remember, it was 13, 14 maybe, all they did was win all the time. And I said something to the effect of, do you see how all these things just go away? They all go away. Nobody cares about the stroll in. Remember that controversy with Frank Coonley? What was that about? I don't even remember. But when you're losing, those are the headlines. When you're winning, those are afterthoughts. And the same can be true of injuries. I had a colleague here at The Fan text me, I think off the top of the show, I just noticed when I was gushing over this start, say, what about when they started 11-0, whenever that was, 2020. I don't know. What about that?
Yeah, that was a different team. I mean, the type of games that they were playing, we could tell they should have lost a lot of those games.
Well, let's see. First, let's see how it plays out. Secondly, this is way more impressive from a defensive perspective than that was.
Well, the depth also on this team is better than last year's team and the year before that. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback that stepped in that's been a starter elsewhere that you're very high on, that's been a former first-round pick that Tomlin would have picked, or at least the organization would have picked over Trevor Lawrence. I mean, maybe we're starting to see with Trevor
Lawrence.
Maybe
everybody should have been picked over Trevor Lawrence.
Seriously.
I mean, I don't know, man. When I look back to the beginning of that season, first of all, it was very weird because I don't think fans were in the stands. Am I remembering that correctly? Secondly, you know, they were beating the Giants 26-16, the Broncos 26-21. They had a shootout with the Eagles that they won. This defense is better than that one. And then, if time wears on here and they're like 8-1, but they look worse and it's starting to deteriorate a little, well, then we can make the call then. Unfortunately, since I have a radio show every day, I don't have the luxury of waiting 8 weeks from now to give opinions on what I think the Steelers will be. I have to say it now. And what I think right now is that they have a chance at least to run away with the AFC North. How could I not think that? I picked the Bengals, and they're three games back already. The Steelers have the best defense in this division. Injuries, of course, can change things. Change things for that Steelers team in 2020 when Bud Dupree went down, didn't it? That was a big deal.
Yeah, but who do they have behind Bud Dupree? They didn't have a Nick Herbig back then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Injuries can change, and when you don't have the depth, you're dead. And he was, at that point, a great player. But then you could see even the game at Jacksonville. That was weird. 267 or somewhere thereabouts. Just a bad offensive game. Then Baltimore's JV team on that weird Wednesday game. They almost lost. And then Washington comes in and beats them. And then all the questions start. They lose to the Bills. They lose to the Bengals, I think, and Jake Browning. They lose to the Browns in the finale, and then they get crushed in a playoff game. Every year is different. Every team is different. All I can do at 3-0 is give you an opinion. And I did the other day, right after the game, when I said, this is Tomlin's best defense since 2010. I still wonder a little bit about depth up front defensively. But I love the starting group. What's there not to love? Cam's back. Benton, Ogunjobi, and Cam. A lot of teams would like to have that defensive line. T.J. Watt, Alandon Roberts, Patrick Queen, Alex Highsmith, and now Nick Herbig. Other guys providing depth in there. Peyton Wilson's look good. I think 29 out of 32 teams, if not more, would love that linebacking core left to right. I have an emerging young player in Joey Porter Jr. at one corner. Additions through the draft or you know, undrafted free agent in Beanie, Deshaun Elliott, Dante Jackson in that secondary, along with Minka. That's a very workable secondary. Lots of secondaries don't have a multi-time all-pro in his prime like Minka and an emerging young cover corner who's as good as Joey Porter. That's different than the 2020 team, if we want to make comparisons. But, you know, I, of course, reserve the right, if things change 8 weeks from now or 12 weeks from now, I'll change my opinion. In the meantime, it looks to me like they're a contender in the AFC.